Mrs. Sarah Jane Simpson McMillan. We're at the high school on the Choctaw Reservation at Pearl River Community here in Mississippi. This is 10 minutes after 3, Monday, December 2. This is part of the Choctaw Indian Oral History Program. How do they call you? Is it Sarah Jane?
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about you. And, Sarah Jane, we're doing this interview this afternoon, and I want to talk to you a little bit about yourself and your family and your past. First of all, let's get some biographical data. Where were you born?
Ardmore, Oklahoma.
Ardmore, Oklahoma. And what's the date of your birth?
January 16,
1951. Are you a Choctaw?
Yes.
How did it happen that you were born in Ardmore?
I lived in Ardmore. My husband went to school in Oklahoma, and we met there, and I came back over here with him. And
well, how did you happen to be born in Oklahoma?
Well, my parents lived
your
there.
Your parents were yes. living there. That's uh-huh. the point I want to make. What was your father doing?
My father was a grocery store attendant, and he had always been attendant all his life.
He was an attendant?
Yes. They had a gas station with that grocery store. And this lady that ran it was his best friend, so he helped her run the store.
Now, your family had always lived in Oklahoma?
Yes.
The Choctaw Reservation in Oklahoma?
No, there is no reservation.
There is no reservation no, among uh-uh. the Choctaws.
We lived on our own land.
A farm outside
no,
of Ardmore?
No, it's just a country out east of Ardmore.
Your father is a Choctaw?
Yes.
What about your mother?
My mother is also a Choctaw.
So you're a full-blooded Indian?
Yes.
What was your mother's name?
Cora Sampson.
Cora Sampson. I know that your middle name, though, is Simpson. Is that right?
No, my maiden name is Sampson.
S-A-M-P.
S-O-N.
S-O-N. Now, your father, tell me again your father's name.
Onus Sampson.
And your mother's name.
Cora Henry Sampson.
Henry was her maiden
yes,
name.
Yes. Uh-huh.
That's what I wanted to make sure I had mm-hmm. that, all the family names uh-huh. listed in here. Had her family always lived also in Oklahoma?
Yes. Wait a minute. My grandmother's a Mississippi Choctaw that came up there during the Trail of Tears or something like that.
Did you know your grandmother?
Yes.
Did she ever tell you anything about this?
She never did talk about anything during the past, because she was real young when this happened, and she never remembered anything.
But she herself was born in Mississippi and
yes.
had gone west when the Choctaws were moved there.
Yes.
So her memories then were of Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about your memories of Oklahoma. You grew up there and was married there.
Well, to me, Oklahoma is paradise compared to here. And there, it's open and you can do anything you want to, which is, here it seems to be limited. I mean, you can't go and socialize with other people like you can over there.
You had no problems at all in growing up. You were not aware of Indian discrimination?
No, I wasn't.
Were you aware of being an Indian?
Yes, I was. We were proud Indians because there, white people thought of you as an Indian and were proud that you attended school with them, and they recognized Indians, any tribe.
Mm-hmm.
But here, I've noticed that they don't.
Now, you were graduated from both elementary and high school there?
Yes.
What was the name of your school in Ardmore?
Well, the school I went to the 11th grade was Dixon High School, which was only a quarter mile from where we live. And when in my senior year, I went to Tahlequah, Oklahoma, Sequoia High School. It's an Indian school, and I went there and graduated there.
Now, the school that you attended up through the 11th grade was not an Indian school.
No, it's a public school.
Were there Indian teachers?
only one.
Was there any effort made to teach you Indian history in the public school?
We had Oklahoma history, which did consist of Choctaw and Cherokees and all those five Siblock tribes' history.
So you grew up knowing something about the Choctaw past in Oklahoma?
Yes, uh-huh.
And it was a past that you were proud of?
Yes.
In your own home, were there any things that were significantly Indian or significantly Choctaw?
No, we grew up socializing with white people, so everything we done were done according to the white people.
What church did your family belong to?
We attended the Dilworth Baptist Church, which was an Indian church.
What do you mean by an Indian church?
All consists of all Indians. All the white people were welcome. Members were Choctaws.
Was the service in Indian?
Sometimes, yes.
Did you grow up knowing the language?
Yes.
Your family spoke it in
yes.
the house?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And you spoke, so you were bilingual then?
Yes.
Was there any bilingual activities going on in school?
No, there wasn't. Any kind of activities there was, it was same thing white people does all the time, basketball.
Was your minister at this Baptist church an Indian?
Yes, he was, but I think he was Chickasaw, that he was the pastor there. We changed every so often.
Are you an only child?
No, I'm not. I have three sisters and one brother.
Sarah Jane, tell me about your husband. You said you met him in Ardmore. What was he doing there?
Well, my sister went to a training school in Cleveland, Ohio, and she met this man from Tucker.
What kind of a training school?
It was a secretarial training. And she met this Choctaw from here, Mississippi, and she met
Martin. In Cleveland?
Yes, in Cleveland. And when they met, they went together until they got married. And about 5 years later, they came to Ardmore. And my husband is my brother-in-law's cousin. So they brought him down there as a chauffeur or something like that. And we met during that time. And 3 years later, he came to the school I was going to at Delacroix. And this is where we really got better.
This was in your senior year?
Yes. Uh-huh.
He wasn't, was he in school also?
Yes, he was school over there.
So he's your same age, approximately your same age?
Yes, he's a year older than I am.
And he was graduated from this Indian school?
No,
also?
He didn't graduate. I think he was a year behind me. It seems that he was put back 1 year because of the school they had here.
But he was a Mississippi Choctaw?
Yes, he is.
So what is his line of work?
He's working at the Garin factory here in town now. I guess it's a pants factory or something like that.
Sarah Jane, what's the date of your marriage?
September 13,
1969. And how did it happen then that you left Ardmore and came back here to Mississippi?
Well, when we were in Ardmore, I wanted to buy a car to come to Mississippi to visit his parents. And as we were buying the car, we had to get insurance on the car, which meant that we had to be married to get the car or insurance. And I thought we'd come here and get his mother and get married in Ardmore, as my grandmother had planned, because she wanted him to get married in the Baptist church. So we came to get his mother, and when we came down, his mother said, "Why can't y'all get married at the Catholic church? Because it's near and we don't have to go way back down there." So we stayed here and got married at his church.
Okay. You say your family, husband's family is Catholic?
Yes, they are.
And so you got married here?
Yes, in his church, because the priest had insisted he does. So we went back anyway and spoke to my grandmother and my father, and it was okay, so we got married over here.
That's one of the things that I'm curious about, Sarah Jane, is the prevalence of Catholicism among the Choctaws here in Mississippi. I noticed there is a church as you come into the Pearl River community. Have you any idea what percentage of the Indians belong to the Catholic religion?
No, I have no idea, but there's more Catholics than there are Baptists.
Oh, it is the predominant religion
yes.
here?
They started out as Catholic. It was the priest who started out as their community, so they eventually became Catholics. They were raised Catholics.
Sarah Jane, is that only true of the Pearl River community, or is it true of all of the Choctaw communities?
It started out at Tucker. And they were all, there's a Catholic church there. That's where the headquarters of whatever you call it. The priest lives in, convent is over there. And the, to all the Tucker people are Catholics. And I guess mostly people that came to Pearl River are somewhere from Tucker or another community that's Catholic. So mostly are Catholics. You won't find very many Baptists.
Are there any Indian priests or nuns?
No, there aren't.
What is the order of the nuns? Do you know?
Order.
Yes, what do they belong to? Is this the orders? Is it a teaching order?
They're just out there at Tucker. But they go out and help the Indian people with catechism and all that, different communities.
Now you live in Tucker.
Yes.
That's where your home is.
Yes.
Do you have children?
I have two.
What, give me their names and ages.
The oldest is Adrienne Lenore, and she'll be 3 in March. And the youngest is Jolena Cheryl, and she'll be 1 year 15th of this month.
Cheryl?
Yes.
Jolena?
Cheryl.
Cheryl.
Uh-huh.
So you have 2 daughters.
Yes.
I got the impression from what you were saying earlier, Sarah Jane, that you aren't happy with Mississippi as compared with Oklahoma.
In family life, I am happy here, but according, you know, being socially and everything like that, I'm not really that happy here.
Are you aware of discrimination because you are an Indian? In Philadelphia and other places?
Yes, I have that feeling, so I have so much resentment against these people for that reason.
Where do you do your shopping?
Well, I do it in Meridian sometimes or in Philadelphia, but I ignore the white people that's there. I just automatically say something nasty to someone. Not that nasty, but you know, they seem to tell you all the time when you're store. They say, may I help you, may I help you? But when you do need help, they stand around somewhere else thinking you're going to steal something. Oh, they're always suspecting. So I just always tell them, no, huh? We usually just walk off when they do that.
Sarah Jane, tell me about your husband. You say he's working at this garment factory in Philadelphia?
Yes.
Does he belong to a labor union?
I'm not sure.
What kind of work does he do?
He presses the pants legs.
Did he have any difficulty as a result of being an Indian? Is he aware of any discrimination?
I don't think so, because he has never, any way he could, he avoided socializing with white people. And any time he's going to play basketball or any kind of sports, he does it all with Indians. So he's never gone into town and have any kind of difficulty with any one of us.
Is this attitude of the Choctaws, which I've sensed among others here, is this directed toward Philadelphia, or is it directed toward all white people?
Well, a lot of people, I think, to any white people. But I guess since they've lived here all their lives, they think all white people are like that. Because whenever my brother-in-law came to Oklahoma for his first time, he left Mississippi. We went to a restaurant. He had no idea he was going to be accepted or anything. He was scared. We told him it was just like another town where you can go in, but I've forgotten that here you're going to have to be afraid of white people. So I think you can see the difference there.
In the years that you have lived here, you still have this sense, I know you have this sense of not being accepted, but are there specific incidents that you have run into of not being served in a restaurant or not being able to do certain things that you could in Oklahoma or elsewhere because you were an Indian?
No, I haven't, because I'm aware of these things. We visited Mississippi several times before I made my home here, and we were aware of these things because we once came to Philadelphia during the Choctaw Fair when I was about 12 years old, and when we entered this cafe, they said, you have to eat on the back part. You can't enter through the front door. So we just left that place. And ever since then, I never did bother to go into any cafeterias in Philadelphia.
I want to get back to your growing up years and find out if in Ardmore, in your family, was there much discussion about Choctaw history, the Choctaw past?
No, I don't think so. We never did sit around and talk about something like that. If they talked about family discussion, it was always on tales of long ago, which I don't believe, and all those sorts. But it was never history, I don't think.
Are these myths and legends, were they passed down from one generation
yes,
to the other?
Yes, I think so. Uh-huh.
Are these things that you can remember your grandmother telling you?
Oh, my great aunt. She was my grandmother's sister. She was about 10 years older than my grandmother.
These were stories she told to the children?
Yes. Uh-huh.
What were they, scare stories?
I think that's what they were meant to be. Because they used to come to Mississippi all the time and they'd tell us something about Mississippi, but it'd be something scary, like there were more goblins over here than there were in Ardmore, or there were more witches and Choctaws up here than there were back there. Those things like that.
This was a scary place then, according
yes.
to the way she described it.
Uh-huh.
If you're not good, you'll go to Mississippi.
But we always came anyway, every year.
Can you remember a particular story that sort of stuck with you over the years, one of the scare stories you heard as a little child?
I think it's one of the scary stories I've heard from them was that, I guess, I don't think you've ever heard of prophets they have among the tribes. Well, they're supposed to be able to sense you, and they can tell what you're thinking, and they can put a hex on you anytime they got ready to. And that's the only thing they used to scare us with was over here. And I think that's what frightened me most. And I have a big mouth. I'm always blabbing off about anything. And recently, just last year, my grandmother told me I better shut up because I was here in Mississippi and somebody's going to put a hex on me. That's what I've always been scared of. That's about it.
And you remember that as a little girl,
yes.
your aunt and grandmother talking about
mm-hmm.
the prophets?
Yes. I think they only used to tell us all those things so we can go to sleep because it was usually late. They can just lay and talk. And my grandmother's niece was there too, which she was old. She was old. And they were all in the bedroom talking about these things. And we used to fall asleep scared because they'd lay there talking about things like that.
Were prophets always bad people?
I think so.
No good prophets at all for telling good things about a person. But they were, did each individual have his own personal prophet? Like a personal spirit?
I don't think so. It was a certain people that was like that. I don't know for sure if they knew they were like that or anything. It might have been just they heard it from someone up here. But they used to say, don't talk about that man because he's got red eyes or he wears red scarf. They used to tell us that all the time.
Sarah Jane, how did it happen your grandmother lived with you?
Well, my mother died when I was 2 years old. And whenever my mother died, my father just sort of drifted away because he had lost his wife. And he just told my great aunt to go ahead and take care of his kids, my brothers and sisters. And he said, go ahead and take care of them, provide them with what they need, and I'll go ahead and release them to you, like he was going to give us away to her. But he said he was going to go ahead and come back and see us and all that. Whenever my great aunt inherited some land and from her husband that had died, and she had a guardian because the land she owned had some oil wells on it. When that guardian told my great aunt that he had to give us away or something, she decided to keep two and give us three to my grandmother. So we separated. My sister and brother lived with my grandmother, and my other two sisters lived with my great aunt. And we weren't even half a mile apart. There was two houses on one land.
What about your father? Did he reappear on the scene?
Yes, he always did. He came home.
You had a father
yes,
figure there.
He lived with us, with my grandmother's house.
So you were raised by your grandmother.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Is there any special attitude among the Choctaws toward older people? Are they regarded as something very special?
In my family, she was. She was she was the string of the family, really. She was the one that held all of us together because she was religious. And just a year ago, she died in a car accident, and that was a deep loss.
What about in the ordinary Choctaw family? Do older people have a special role to play?
In where? Here?
Here. For instance, in a household where you'd have three generations, grandparents, parents, and children, who really is responsible for the household?
I think the grandparents. Although I haven't seen any young people here that respects their grandparents as I used to, that I think they were supposed to be treated.
In the Choctaw family here in Mississippi, what role does the woman play?
Here in Mississippi?
You, yes, in your own household now. What role did you play in the household?
Blabbermouth.
You're the wife and you're the mother, but are you responsible? Is it the mother who's responsible for making the decisions, or is it a family where decision making is shared by husband and wife?
Well, in my family, the husband and wife both make the decision together.
In the Seminole families, it's the woman who really makes the decisions. It's a matriarchal society there. But here it's a patriarchal society, isn't it? The father is still pretty much the decision maker in the traditional family.
I think so. Uh-huh. Whatever the husband says, the woman has to follow.
And the woman goes to live with the husband's family rather than vice versa.
As I've seen it here, I've seen it the other way around.
But that's the exception, isn't it, rather than the rule when the husband goes to live with the wife's family?
I really didn't notice the difference. No.
Does the wife's brothers, that is the uncles, do they have any say-so over the discipline of the children?
I don't think so.
That's the way it would work in a matriarchal society. And in some southeastern Indian groups, that's the way it does work. Now, you're saying that perhaps the attitude that your family had toward your grandmother was a special kind of a thing.
Yes.
That grandparents really are not the decision makers in the family if they are not contributing to the family's income. They're there by sufferance. Is that right?
Oh, in my family in Oklahoma, they...
No, I meant here.
Oh,
the
ordinary here.
Family here in Mississippi, Choctaw family.
Yes, I think that's so.
Are there any institutions to take care of the elderly here?
There is, the center up here is for the old people. It's like a...
Old age home?
Yes, it's one of those, uh-huh.
Do they live there?
Yes, they have 10 patients there. But I think it's for people that doesn't have anyone that can take care of them and all that.
If there are children or grandchildren, they are supposed to take care of elderly people who have no income?
Yes. But most elderly people has income of some sort.
From where?
From the welfare or from
Social Security? But it's mainly, what you're saying is that it's largely a family responsibility as far as the Indian community is concerned.
If they can take care of them. But there aren't many that take care of their parents, grandparents like that. They're usually neglected if they're old people.
What about children, homeless children, orphan children? Is there any Indian community responsibility for them?
Well, the social services up in town places them in foster homes, and the foster parents takes care of them, and I guess they receive a check during the month.
But this is the government that's doing it. I'm wondering if there is any Indian community responsibility.
I don't think so.
So there's no Indian community responsibility to the elderly. And no Indian community responsibility to homeless or orphan children. How about the indigents? How about the people who are unemployed? A mother, for instance, the father's died. Who helps her other than what the federal and state government does?
I don't know. I think that's the only one that helps them.
You have no institutions then in any of the Indian communities here that have this kind of a responsibility.
I don't think so, not that I'm aware.
What about the church? The Catholic Church or the Baptist Church do anything like that that you're aware of?
I don't think so. But if you were unemployed, the priest would help you in different ways to help you try to get a job.
But there is no a structure, no formal structure where a person would go to the tribal council. What happens if a person has a problem, a marital problem or a legal problem? Are there agencies here on the reservation to take care of that?
I think there's a legal aid and some kind of counselors.
There is a marriage counseling service for Indian couples?
It's mental and health alcohol counseling, but they said they counsel marriages too.
But it's on the reservation, and
yes,
it is available for Indian people.
Yes, it is.
Do you know who funds this?
I'm not sure.
Whether this is federally funded or Indian.
Yes.
I'm trying to establish the responsibility that the Indian community has to Indians is really what I'm trying to get on.
I don't think there are anything like that. They're all federal funded, I think.
Mm-hmm. Do you think this is part of the Indian tradition to neglect the homeless, the unwanted, the have-nots in the Indian community?
I've seen it that way. I mean, if you were to see a homeless child, you'd sympathize the child and take him in or something, but here, too bad if the mother didn't want him, it seems to say.
There's no, you do not sense a community responsibility then, either in an formal and institutionalized way or an informal way. Do your children go to nursery school?
No, they don't.
They're too young yet?
Yes, my oldest will probably go to Head Start next year, but I doubt if she will. Because there's so many programs they have at Tribe that even though I work for the Tribe, I seem to resent some of the programs they have. That I've worked with Head Start before, and I had seen no progress or anything. And I feel that I can teach my child just as much as if she did go into that school.
Tell me about your work, your own personal work with the Tribe.
It's a parent trainer. What we do is go into
parent trainer?
Yes.
T-R-A-I-N-E-R?
Yes. We go into the homes of children from 0 to 3, I think, kids that doesn't go to Head Start. And we're supposed to train the parents to work with the children in toys. You know, any kind of toys you take to the children, they can automatically play with. But if you interact with the children, they can learn these things as they play with the toys. So
what do you mean by learning these things?
You can learn anything from a toy, like colors, counting, or what it does. This is what we do to train the parent. And as the child is playing with that, when we make home visits, the mother works with the child during the time we're there.
Who supplies the toys?
The family education is funded.
Is this a federally funded program?
Mm-hmm.
So did you need any special training for this?
Yes, we had to have 2 weeks workshop, and off and on we're going to have workshops in order to train us to what kind of toys to provide with these children and what kind of teaching, learning techniques it brings and all those things.
You work just with the mother in the home?
Yes, or the caretaker is the person who watches the child during the day with you.
If the mother is working?
Yes.
You go in then and you work with the mother, and then you attempt to turn over to her the responsibility of interacting and educating her child through the use of these toys, which you supply.
Yes.
How many households do you have under your supervision?
Oh, let's see, about 11, I think it is.
Do you visit them weekly?
Yes. Once a week is we home visits we make.
Is this a part-time job for you?
No, this is a 40-hour week. Mm-hmm.
So how long do you spend in an average home?
About an hour. Sometimes more than whenever they... Because these children usually don't come up and play just like that. They're going to be shy and all different kind of children.
Do you find this a successful program? Is it working?
I haven't seen a success yet, but we've only started working for about 4 months now. But maybe we'll see something later.
Is it supposed to equip the child to do what?
To be able to know these things whenever they go to Head Start. Like, they can be able to recognize colors or be able to develop language with those motor skills.
Sarah Jane, tell me about the Head Start program for Indian children. It starts with the
three years old, goes to five? 3 to 4, I think. 5 goes to kindergarten. They're set up in each community for the families that's on poverty line. And if you're not on there, you're going to have to pay a fee.
What is the poverty for the family? 3,000?
4, I think.
4.
4,100 or something like that. And if you're beyond that, you're going to have to pay from $15 up to $300 a month.
So there are many children in the Head Start program who come from more affluent families.
Yes, And what they're trying to do is get them ready to go to kindergarten, be learning all these minor things, major.
Are these Indian teachers in the Head Start?
Yes, it is. That's why I don't want to send my child.
Why?
Because I think if it was a white person, she'd be speaking English to that child, and she can learn English. Or even if she didn't understand it when she first entered them, she could learn while she was going. But then as an Indian teacher, she always talks Choctaw. While I was working with them, she did. And I didn't see no kind of improvement in language, because that's the worst thing an Indian child has here whenever they start school.
Is the language skill?
Yes. It's that one that they can't seem to...
Are your children bilingual?
They're one of them. Just one talks, so she talks Choctaw all the time. We talk English to her, but she understands it, but she doesn't talk back in English yet. Because she lives with my in-laws, and they talk. Everyone in that family talks Choctaw.
Are you planning to try to discourage her knowledge of Choctaw?
No, I'm not. It's just that I want her to talk both languages and be able to understand them both.
And to develop writing skills in both?
Yes.
You can write Choctaw, can't you?
Only when I have to.
No, I mean it's a writable language.
Yes,
not
it is.
Necessarily. Uh-huh. You do have an alphabet and it can be written.
It's just the alphabet that y'all have, ABCs, but they're written in Choctaw language. They also have a Bible in Choctaw language.
Now, I want to get back to your work. You're paid for this by the federal government, aren't you?
Yes, uh-huh.
Is this operate on the civil service?
I don't think so.
How did you get the job?
Well, they had an opening during the summer. And I just applied. I mean, they just brought out some papers. They have an outreach worker. Some people in the tribe brings out papers to these people in the homes. And I wasn't working in the summer. So this lady brought this paper and she said, if you're interested in working with family education, just fill out the questions. And there were only 10 questions. And I filled it out and gave it to her. And then a month later, they told me to come for a workshop.
You have to drive, of course, going from house to house, don't you?
Yes.
Do they compensate you for your automobile expenses?
10 cents a mile, which isn't much right now.
Well, I wanted to ask you, Sarah, about, do you consider yourself to be a women's libber?
No, I don't think so.
Why not?
I like to be pampered once in a while.
Do you philosophically support what they're saying and what they're doing?
No. I just don't think about it, really.
How political are you?
Not that much. I really don't care what's happening. I mean, I'm just... It seems that I'm just... I don't know. Just hanging in the air.
Has this always been true, this kind of sense of political apathy on your part?
Yes.
Are you registered to vote?
Yes.
Did you vote in 72?
No, I just registered this year. No, it was last year, last part of last year that I registered. And I only voted for the wet and dry thing they have here. That's the only thing I voted for.
Do you, of course your children are so young, I was going to ask you whether you felt you had any special problem with what's going on in Washington and what's going on in the world and trying to teach your children the difference between good and evil. You feel that the political situation has in any way harmed your own home life?
I don't think so.
Is your husband very politically motivated?
No, he isn't.
So he is not a voter or is overly conscious about what's happening?
No, he didn't.
Let me ask you about the community as a whole. Are they sensitive to the political struggle?
I don't think so. Well, they just, you know, when there's propaganda they hear on TV, they're going to go around and say it, but they're not going to do anything. It's it. They don't seem to care.
Do many people here vote?
I don't think so, because there was a lot of them that didn't vote. So we registered a lot of them last year. But I don't think they even bothered to vote.
When you say we registered a lot, who's the we?
Well, I worked for ABE last year.
What's that?
Adult Basic Education. And we had a day class on the day they were going to be registered. So we had at least 50 students, adult students. And we took them up to the courthouse and helped them fill out the forms and all those things that you register. Because most of them can't read and don't know what yes or no means. So we helped them register.
I want to get back, leave politics for just a minute. I want to explore the educational situation here a little bit more with you, Sarah Jane. You were talking about you're not going to let your children go into the Head Start program that you feel you can do as well. Are you satisfied as a mother living here with the schools?
No, I'm not.
What do you feel, on the basis of your knowledge of it, that's wrong with, let's say, this institution, which looks like it has a lovely building?
Mm-hmm. I think what's wrong is the teachers are white people, of course, and they have no interest in the Choctaws. Maybe few will, but not all of them. And they teach them, if you don't learn, that's your own problem, they seem to say, and they just let them roam around. Give them an A even if they were absent half the time. And they don't have any kind of competition here, seems that.
You don't feel that they're demanding enough from these kids?
I don't think so, I know the individual should want to learn and do all this, but they're not given that much to learn and to know. I have several brother-in-laws and sister-in-law here in school, and I've never heard not one of them speak English yet. They've talked all the time. In any kind of subject they're doing, they feel it's difficult because it's really not that hard if they can study and have a teacher pressure them to do it. But they say, oh, I'm going to get A anyway, so they're going to stick their book up on the shelf and bring the books back next day.
What facilities are there here on the reservation other than the school for education? Is there a library?
Not out of the school, that's the only library they have here.
Well, can you come in as a resident of this community and take books out?
They're strict, though. But I don't think so, Because I was working with the BIA whenever we checked out books over there, but they were so strict that I don't think just anyone could come in and check out a book.
Well, where did you get your reading material?
I really don't read that much unless I have to. Whenever I have to, I go to the Neshoba County Library in town.
And you can go in there, there's no problem about that.
There might be a problem, but then I ignored all that. I just told them I want a book out. They ask a bunch of questions like you're going to steal a book, but Do you get a card anyway?
Is there a little theater group or choral groups or anything like that on the reservation?
Not on the reservation, no.
There is a great deal of interest in sports, isn't there?
There is. It's about all there is around here.
The men enjoy this, or is it both men and women?
Men and women both, because that's about the only thing they can do around here. So they enjoy it so much that they'll do play all the time.
Is it a participant? Everybody's a participant?
Yes, if they, depends on if they want to or not.
You said your husband played basketball.
Yes. He plays every Sunday afternoon and every chance he gets.
What about you?
No.
You're a spectator sportswoman.
No, not really.
What are the most popular sports?
Here. Just basketball and football, I suppose.
I haven't seen a tennis court here on the reservation.
They don't have one.
Would people play if there was one?
I don't think they'd know how to play it or anything.
Tennis has become such a big sport in the United States. Are there any of the men who play golf?
No, there are. Not I haven't seen one.
I noticed the new swimming pool.
Yes, they just have that built. Just not too long ago.
I didn't see it in March when I was here, but it is now. Has that been used a good deal?
I don't know. I haven't seen. I haven't been here that many times.
What do you have in Tucker?
Nothing.
How large a community is Tucker?
I don't think it's over 160 people. I don't think so.
Where is it in proximity to this place?
It's about 15 miles from here. No, it's about 9 miles south of Philadelphia.
Does your husband's family live here at Pearl River?
No, they live in Tucker.
So your family, then, the people you're related to, are all in Tucker?
Yes.
You don't have to get over to this community too often, do you?
No,
Is there much visiting back and forth between communities?
I think there are in some other families that have maybe... They once lived in another community and had to move to Pearl River because of their workplace or something like that, but there's not too many people in Tucker that comes to Pearl River to visit.
Sarah, how social are Indian families? Do you visit back and forth? Do you entertain?
There's not that, no. All they do is stay home. I don't think anyone entertains anybody. Unless it's going to be a birthday celebration or something like that, they invite immediate family and have a supper or something like that.
But there's no tradition of giving parties back and forth, cocktail parties.
No, there isn't. I don't think...
Having people in to eat or for drinks or anything like that.
If it's to eat, they can always visit someone and have supper with them, and that's something they do every day, so they would.
So that's not a special kind of
No,
thing.
It isn't, huh?
You're getting ready for Christmas now. Is that a special, particularly special holiday for you?
To me, it is. But it's so different from my home in Ardmore than it is here that I'm beginning to feel like Christmas isn't here at all.
Why is it so different?
Because I was raised knowing Christmas as the birth of Jesus and having all these Christmas plays that they put on in church. Giving presents and so shopping even in October, but here Christmas is here and that's it. I haven't seen anyone exchange gifts. We've been to something that they call Christmas tree. I guess it's a party or something, but where they celebrate is some people comes up wearing a Santa Claus, and he'll have three helpers they call them. But they wear Halloween masks. But that's what's so odd about it. And they just clown around, making jokes, telling funny stories. And that's not Christmas to me.
You had a Santa Claus in Ardmore?
Yes, but not helpers with masks. And that's what's so different. And here they don't give presents like we exchange gifts down there. Here they just give one apple and that's it.
Well, do you exchange gifts in your own home?
Yes, I have a sister here in Tucker, too, so we usually exchange gifts and...
How about generally in the community? Do people exchange gifts here?
I don't
do
think so.
Do you buy your in-laws presents, and do they buy you presents?
Yeah, I'll buy my in-laws presents, but none of them has bought me one for Christmas, so I don't think they do.
Is this not part of the tradition here?
I don't think so, because I haven't seen anyone do that.
Oh, do you think that's because of an economic factor, or is it just not part of the historical development?
It's just not part of it, I guess. They seem to think it was something, because I gave them presents the first year I was here in 69, but I went to Ardmore for Christmas that year. When I came back, there was 3 presents for us, and they bought it for us because we bought them something.
Mm-hmm.
But they probably wouldn't bought us anything. We didn't buy them anything either, though.
What about the Christmas tree? Is that part of the home decoration here?
Not for too many people. My in-laws never did put up a tree till I did.
I want to ask you about Christmas as it's celebrated traditionally and at the present here on this reservation. Now, you're saying that gift exchanges is not part of the tradition.
I don't think so.
And you're also saying now that the Christmas tree is not a major part of the celebration here.
No. But what they do is they take a Christmas, cedar tree, mm-hmm. and they bring it into their yard and stick it in the ground. And they, somewhere from 25th, I guess, somewhere from 25th to New Year's, just anybody in that community can have a, they call it a Christmas tree, I guess it's a party. But they sell fruits, they sell nuts and all that, and whoever comes buys those things and gives it as a gift to people who participates in that party.
All right, I want to get that because that's interesting, you know, and I have not heard that before, Sarah,
mm-hmm.
so I want to get this down
odd.
On the tape. Now, the family puts a cut tree,
mm-hmm.
a cedar tree of any size.
Yes.
In the front yard.
Mm-hmm.
They just put it into the ground.
Yes.
Is the tree then decorated?
Sometimes they only have lights, but then some just put icicles on there.
Uh-huh. Now this is put up on New Christmas Eve?
Yes, they start on Christmas Eve.
And it's not done before Christmas Eve?
Uh-uh.
And the decoration continues from that point until New Year's?
Mm-hmm. Just any household, any family can have one. They can have one from every night till that New Year's Eve.
Now, I don't understand about the party business that's there. What do you, explain that a little bit more in detail for the tape.
What I mean by that party is that, like I said, a Santa Claus and 3 helpers.
Yeah.
What's so funny is that they start somewhere around 8 o'clock, and they say, here they come. And you hear firecrackers, and you can see a lot of fireworks up in the, you know.
This is Christmas
sky.
Eve?
Any time from Christmas
Eve
to New Year's.
So you may have this every night?
Yes, it depends on if the family has it or not.
Well, who is dressed up as Santa Claus and his helpers?
Well, the people who's going to have that party.
I see.
Picks those people.
I see.
So these people, 4 people, is going to be ready to perform or act or something. So they come, and the people are supposed to think of them as coming from North Pole or something like that. And they walk. What they first do is drive them off somewhere and let them off around 1/4 mile. And they're going to walk back to the house. And while they're walking back, they pop firecrackers and all those stuff. When they finally come to the house, they start telling their story about what happened when they were on their way to the house, and they just make up jokes like that.
Uh-huh.
And people just have fun laughing.
And the neighbors then gather around and watch these antics.
Yes.
All right, now tell me, what is on the tree other than the possible lights and icicles?
Nothing.
Well, you were saying about nuts and that kind of thing. Now, where are they? What part do they play?
Okay.
Nuts and candy.
Whoever gives the party buys those things and then turn, sell it to someone who wants to buy it and wrap it around newspaper and give it to whoever they want to give it to that's at that party.
Uh-huh. Well, what do they do with the money that they realize from the sale?
They keep it. That's for their self, I guess.
I see. So they have bought food supplies, which are then sold to the people who have gathered. And the people who buy it then, in turn, give it, either eat it or give it to anybody they want.
Yes. It's like you were giving them a present, but there they give them an apple or
uh-huh.
orange. When we first came down around 65, my brother-in-law said there was going to be a Christmas tree at Tucker. So So my grandmother, my aunt, and all my cousins, a lot of us came down, went to there. We didn't know what to expect. So when this came up, they got our names. Everybody got our names. So we wrote all of our names on a piece of paper. And we thought, we're going to get a present. And it turned out we got one orange. And that was a disappointment because we thought we were going to get a present.
I have never heard of this kind of custom anywhere else. Have you, Sarah?
No, I haven't until I came down here.
Well, is this true of all of the communities, all of the Choctaw communities?
I think so, because they do it at Tucker every year.
Do they do it here at Pearl River?
I don't know. We don't go to different communities for some. I don't think different people that comes from different communities goes to other communities for the
Well, thing. But had you heard about it being done here?
I don't think so, because they don't have, the houses are too close together. Because whenever they give it, it's usually...
Is there any, do you know if there's any religious significance to this?
I don't know. I don't think so. Because I could ask my brother-in-law, why do they have Christmas? And he
well, it's kind of interesting, you see, because that's a different kind of a tradition than that we've heard about.
It is.
What about the use of Christmas stockings? Do the children hang up stockings?
Mm-mm. Only stockings they see is whenever you have candy and buy them in a bag, stock, something from the store.
Well, where does Santa Claus leave presents in your house?
They don't get any presents.
Like your children do.
Oh, my children do.
Yeah.
We just put them under the tree, and she doesn't know anything about Santa Claus.
Oh, that is not a tradition here, Santa Claus? You haven't told your children about Santa Claus?
I guess it depends on the individual families whether they do or not. But my little girl hasn't seen the Santa Claus. She was born here, and she's been living here all this time. I don't think she's seen a Santa Claus other than sitting in a window somewhere. So she has never even spoke about Santa Claus.
And the hanging of the stockings, then, is not a part of a Christmas celebration here on the among the Choctaws.
No.
Does food play it? Do they have any special foods at Christmas time?
Turkey. Because I don't think they'd buy it if they were going to. Because I think if they're Catholic and attend church, the priest or the sisters will give them a turkey for Christmas.
Sarah, what about Thanksgiving? Has there any significance, Choctaw significance to that?
No.
Do you have Thanksgiving dinner?
We did among our family, but I don't think they would have done it if I didn't. Because no one celebrated in Thanksgiving dinner in our community. But me and my sister decided to cook up something, and we got together and ate at my mother-in-law's.
Are there any special holidays during the year? We've gone through Thanksgiving and Christmas. Are there any special holidays which the Choctaws do celebrate as some big event in the year?
Mm-mm. I haven't seen the Choctaws go crazy or anything like that.
Easter?
No. Even then, they didn't hunt eggs until I came down here and we started hunting eggs in our family. So I don't know. I haven't heard anyone have anything.
How about Halloween? Do the children dress up for Halloween?
Why do you see any?
So trick-or-treating is not a childhood kind of activity?
I don't think so. Well, I guess the main reason because they didn't have that much transportation, so they didn't do all this long ago or several years back to be accustomed to it now.
Well, tell me, what kind of tradition can you pass on here from one generation to the other? You as a mother passing on things to your children, which are Indian.
That's what I'm always saying. I'm taking back to Ardmore. I don't know. There's nothing they do except every day live in and go to church.
Do you talk to them about a Choctaw history?
No, we don't.
Do the Choctaws have any special heroes, Indian heroes?
No, I haven't heard.
Now, the Seminoles, you see, look up to the figure of Osceola. I was wondering if there was somebody that you, the Choctaws, felt was very important to them, an Indian figure.
This may be a surprise, but I found among these Choctaws here, they don't put one up like that. They're always knocking the other one down. They don't look up to anybody. They don't want any chocolate better than them. That's the thing I've noticed that here.
It's a leveling process then.
Yes.
Everybody is supposed to be on the same level with
yes.
nobody having more or doing more.
And so when everyone has a little bit more, all the gossip goes to that person. So what they're trying, they're, all they're doing is competing among each other and just breaking each other down. So I don't think.
Sarah, are, obviously, families are improving themselves. There are many Indians who are making good livings now and who are living in more comfortable, better equipped homes. Is there much jealousy among the have-nots about the people who have a television and who have a automobile and whatever else it is?
I think so. I think it's really out of jealousy that they make up stories about another family that has this and that and all those sorts.
By stories, what do you mean?
Oh, they could say, what makes them think they're any better than we are? Oh, they, you'd be surprised what stories you can hear out of these Choctaws here. That really gets me, because they're in Ardmore. You don't live that close to another Choctaw to be talking about them. But here, they're so close together. They're always saying something about the other person here and there.
Sarah, as a person, how religious are you?
Well, I guess I live by what I was taught.
And you have your own personal standard of ethics, of what's good and what's bad?
Yes. But there's a lot of things I think that's bad that people here doesn't think of it as bad at all.
Mm-hmm. Are you a regular church goer?
Not here. I haven't gone to church ever since I've been here. Because, for one reason, when I first went to a church when I came down here in 68, they all stared at me like, who's that odd thing over there? No one said a word. What I expected was everyone to welcome me, and they didn't. And ever since then, I never did go back to that church. And there's not that many Baptist churches in Tucker, there's only one. So I never did go back, and sometimes I go to church with my husband. Cause both
That's
of our,
the Catholic Church.
Uh-huh, because both of our daughters are Catholic.
Do you feel you're missing anything in your self as a result of this break with religion?
I think so. No, not really, but here, it's just going to church and that's it. But in, when I was over there, we had all night singings. Have you heard of those things?
Mm-hmm.
But they have singings. They start somewhere from 8 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning. Different quartets, sings, and all those sorts. And they had it all over anywhere. So we went all the way to Tahlequah, just anywhere in Oklahoma. They had singing every Saturday night, and we'd go. That was our treat. You know?
It was like a social activity.
Yes, where you meet different people, different tribes. You'd find a lot of friends there. But here, they don't have things like that, and there's no place to go. Even in Baptist church here, they just go to their church. And they think one Baptist church is better than the other church. So I just never did bother with anything.
There's no community spirit then in Tucker?
I don't think so.
Do you have your own local government there?
Mm-mm.
There's no mayor or commission or anything like that?
No, they just have a tribal council.
Representatives?
From the community.
You have two representatives?
Yes, uh-huh.
Any members of your husband's family served on the council?
I don't think so. His stepfather might have served once a long time ago, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So it's not a politically involved family then?
No.
What do your in-laws do to make a living?
Well, his stepfather's disabled, and his mother just babysitted for us.
So if you had your choosings, you'd go back to Ardmore, wouldn't you, Sarah?
I would. But then my grandmother passed away. Like I said, she was the string holder. Like she's gone, my immediate relatives that we were so close are scattered out now. So if I were to go back there, I'd probably just go for a visit. But still, I would be satisfied.
Sarah, if you had your own life to live over again and could choose it, would you choose to live as an Indian?
I think so.
You're not bitter or disappointed with things?
No. Uh-uh.
As you look toward the future for your own children, how do you see it?
Well, as I see it, it's nothing if they stay here in Mississippi. But if I don't know if I will or what, but I want to take them back to Ardmore where they can start school there. Because there, it's going to be socialized with everybody there. But in here, even Choctaws don't like kids like that. They're going to even fight in school. And if you bring this up in school, my child done this to that child, well, the mother's going to take up for their child. I've seen so many of that. And in public schools, I didn't see any of that when I was going to school.
Sarah, tell me what you think about this program that we were talking about today, the oral history program. What do you see its value?
Well, its value will come out of it if the tribe or the tribe council decides to publish something where it can be put, where someone can make use of it.
Do you feel that the people in Tucker will cooperate with you on this interview?
I don't know. Some people I've heard says, there's no good to do it now. All the old ones are dead. That's what I've heard from the people there. So
are all the old ones dead?
There's only two elders in that community. And then I don't think they can remember back too far.
But there are things that today's people can tell you.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to ask about other problems in the community, Sarah. Is there much alcoholism?
In other communities, yes. But in Tucker, there's not too many. They drink, but they're not alcoholics.
Mm-hmm. Why is there a prevalence of alcohol?
I think that's one reason, because these Choctaws think they've got courage. Oh, I can do this. And it's dry in this county. So they're going to say, I can get by with it. And they're going to go out in county line and buy it and bring it back and get drunk on it. Thinking they are.
So it's just a matter of trying to show off what they can do?
I think that's what it is. I think if it was wet, they would probably drink it socially and, you know, not drink so much. But since it's dry, when they go down there, they can get drunk on, then they end up somewhere like
that. What about the drug culture? Is there a prevalence of that?
I don't know about that drugs, but then I haven't heard any Choctaws in these communities taking drugs or anything.
You've not had any problems with the teenagers?
I don't think so. Even the teenagers drink, so I don't think they bother with drugs. They probably couldn't afford it anyway.
What about the moral standards of the young people, the teenagers here? Are you finding very much of that like you are in the non-Indian communities? Girls getting pregnant, couples living together.
So you see a lot of that here. That's just a common thing over here. And like I was telling my husband, my grandmother would think that was awfully bad if it was over there. But then here, it's just a common thing.
It's not condemned by the community?
It is not. It seems it was a long ago, but not now.
I mean today, by today's standards.
No.
Girls are not ostracized.
They're just, what's wrong with it? They're too freely. They do what they want to. There's
well, what
no discipline.
What happens to illegitimate children?
They keep them.
Isn't they're not given out for adoption?
Oh, if they wanted to, probably would be, but they keep it, and then what I've seen mostly is they keep them and they treat them so mean later. I mean, just because they were born like that, they seem to resent them after they're born.
So children then are handicapped. The illegitimate children are handicapped in this society.
Mm-hmm.
But would you think there's a double standard? Is society here, the Indian society, more critical of the girls than they are of the boys?
I don't think they're even critical of either one of them. Because I haven't seen any discipline in Indian families. My in-laws don't discipline their kids. And they're just getting to where they're going to run out later because they're around 13, 14.
Are children not well behaved here?
I don't think so. Not the way they should be. I don't know why they act that way, but I guess they want to show off to the other person or what, but they just all go crazy, it seems.
What do children do here after they've graduated from school?
Some goes to college and come back later and get married or something like that, I've noticed.
But many of them stay right here. They don't move away seeking better opportunities, better jobs.
I don't think Mississippi Choctaw can move away from their reservation.
Why?
They can go off, but they just can't get adjusted to the other kind of life. Like in Mississippi, you hear a reservation, they're with the white Indians all the time. And they're always federally funded in some way to help them out, that if they don't have a job, they can be able to run to the social service or the tribe and ask for some kind of help on groceries or food or something, like clothes of some sort. And if you go out somewhere like that, there's not going to be anybody to be there for you to run to. So I don't think they can be able to do those things. That's why they come back all the time. That's the way I see it. I don't know if that's so or not, but it seems that way. Because they come back, they know they're going to have a job with the tribe and goof off and still get paid for it. But in other places, if it's a company that you go goof off, they're going to fire you. But here at the tribe, they don't.
You're kind of pessimistic, I think, about the future of this society here, Sarah. Don't you think that's maybe part of that homesickness?
Probably, I think so. It might be. I just never did see any good over here, you know what I mean? I don't hate the people or anything, but it's just that way.